what it is. But yes, that is the exact description of it. Thank you, Brother Kotiver. And what you do is you don't eat, but it's for a specific purpose. And we're going to get into that a little bit today. Let's start out with the word of prayer, though. And we're going to talk about when, why, and what is, and what do we do when we fast. Okay, that's basically the thought. So, Brother Brian, could you lead us in prayer to start? Thank you. They do talk about fasting, believe it or not. In the world today, they talk about fasting, but it's always a physical attribute. It's something that you do for your, and by the way, it does help a lot. Your body is an amazing thing. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the scripture says, and that is very true. What your body needs to do every once in a while, though, it needs to readjust itself or cleanse itself. If you look on your shelves today, you will see vast majority of products have to do with body cleansing of some sort. Your body does need to do that, refresh itself from time to time. Fasting is, it's been suggested to fast one day a week. In America, I doubt that happens in the vast majority of homes, but understand that the teaching today is that if you fast one day a week, it helps your body to cleanse, helps your body to restore itself, help your body to readjust to things. Amazingly enough, I find wonderment in your body where if you cut yourself, it heals itself. I find wonderment of the body when you get sick, the body heals itself. I'm going to be honest with you, the medications that you get from your doctor today to cover up your colds and flus, I believe your body heals itself so fast that even if you didn't take it, good Lord, when I was a little kid, they gave you penicillin, it cleared you right up. Today they give you something, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't really clear it up very fast. Seems to me the body probably healed it and medication probably didn't do much for you. But your body is incredible in the things that it needs to do, and fasting does certainly contribute to a healthier life. If you would fast one day out of seven, it does definitely contribute to a healthier life. But understand this, there is a fasting that you do to help you spiritually. It helps your, it can help your mental status. But what it's supposed to do, and I'll show you this in the scripture, it's supposed to be a personal thing. Fasting is supposed to be very personal. Can I help you? I didn't think I was going to go here, but I'm going to go here anyhow. What you do for God should be personal. And then let me help you with this. What do I mean? We have a hard time in churches today with somebody getting a conviction, and it has to be mandated among the people. Convictions are a personal thing with God. A conviction is a personal, you've made a deal with God on your own. Okay? And I'm gonna touch some things that are, you might raise your eyebrows over this, but I don't care. A lot of preachers will preach that there's a certain type of dress, there's a certain type of thing that you should do in your life that will get you closer to God. Understand this. The clothes that you wear are an outward of what's already inward. To get there, you've got to have this conviction with God. There are guidelines that are set up by the Bible that we should follow, keeping yourself covered. Here we are in summertime, okay? You know that Pastor Skyver very soon is going to be preaching the no bikini message. You know that's coming, okay? And glory to God, I'm glad he does. Because 99.9% of America should never have on those swimsuits. Ever. You swear that nobody in the world has a mirror when they go out in that stuff. But that's not why you don't wear those. You don't wear those because you want to be closer to God. And by the closer you get to God, the more coverage you're going to have of your clothing. That's just the way it is. Okay? Now, I'm not going to sit here and preach to you about clothing today, but understand this. When you get a conviction over something, now understand, I don't believe being a smoker will send you to hell. But eventually it has to become a conviction in your life that you ought not do that. Okay? You ought not do that. It's just, that's the way it is. And smoker will tell you that they really don't feel like they should smoke. They'll tell you that. But it's so hard to kick. And it is. You don't make light of people that are having a struggle. Here's what's funny. We as Christians, we get so mature, Brother Carl. We get so mature that we don't struggle with things like that anymore. But what do you struggle with? Just because somebody's having a struggle over here, you think that you're so great and mature over here. I'm going to be honest with you, you're probably less mature than they are. It's the whole mote beam aspect, okay? It's the whole, we'll swallow, what is that, honey? We'll swallow the camel and choke on the gnat, okay? We got no problem making fun of somebody else's problems, but when it comes to us, we just go, well, I'll do whatever I want to do, but boy, they shouldn't be doing that, okay? As Christians, this is what you ought to be doing. As Christians, you ought to be praying for each other. Here's what it is. Don't go up and worry about what somebody else is living in their life till you've worried about what you're living in yours. When you point the finger at one person, you got four of them coming right back at you. Okay? We'd be better off as Christians if we worried about keeping our convictions to ourselves where they ought to be. Preachers ought to preach. Please don't misread me. I'm not liberal. Preachers ought to preach. But don't change because the preacher preached. Change because God spoke to you through the preacher. That's what we mess up. If you change for the preacher, if you change for the preacher, you're not changing for the right reasons. And if you change for the wrong reasons, you'll eventually change back. And it'll be worse than it was before. Okay? That's just a side note. Won't charge you a thing for it. When you fast, the Bible says in Matthew 6:16 that they were fasting. And when they were fasting, they were showing the people that they were fasting. Okay? I've got a problem with a Christian that's willing to announce on the mountaintop everything that they've done for God. I've got a real problem with that. I've got a real problem with somebody that'll stand up here and say, glory to God, I just want to let you know how good of a Christian I was today. Glory to God, I'm so thankful that I'm good and you're not. I'm so thankful that I've done so many great things that you continue to do so many bad. Thank you, God, for not making me as they are. It actually has a guy saying that, a Pharisee, standing up and saying this. And the Bible says, he got his reward. His reward was he got to tell everybody about it. So when and if you ever fast, fasting is not about telling everybody you're fasting. Matter of fact, I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't give you a dime for a fellow that tells you he was fasting. I wouldn't give you a dime for it. Because the only reason he's telling you that he's fasting is so you feel like he's spiritual. Okay? Fasting is not something that you do for public notice. Fasting is something you do personally. It's a personal thought. And here's the thing. Whenever I do fast, I think of the hunger pangs that you get because, and I get hungry. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I starve. Oh, and every time you go down the street when you're fasting, the McDonald's sign is so much brighter. The Wendy's sign just beacons to me. The little girl on the sign just saying, please come. We're giving hamburgers away, you know. But those hunger pangs, every time I'm fasting, and this, the hunger pangs remind me that I'm fasting. Think about that for a minute. You ever tied a string around your finger to remind you of something? If you fast, you'll be reminded quite often that you're fasting. And if you think about this, and this is just a personal thing I'm trying to tell you, when I'm fasting, I use those hunger pangs as times when I say, Lord, I'm fasting, and speak to him. See, when you're fasting, prayer will come with it if you think along the lines of why you're fasting. If you think along the lines and keep it inside of you why you're fasting, why you do those things. If you've never fasted, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never fasted, if you've never thought about fasting, you really ought to pray to God and ask him to give you a reason to fast. Okay, we have tons of them, by the way. But we should pray and ask God, Lord, give me a reason to fast. Give me a reason to not eat today. And let me help you. I understand this too. Like, Mary Reinhart could never fast. She had diabetes. You just can't, okay? There's no way sometimes a diabetic would have to, I don't know how they would do it. And if you physically cannot, please, don't. I'm not coming down saying, bless God, if you don't, you're terrible, okay? I do enough things in my life where I know I'm terrible. I'm not calling you any names, okay? But understand this, if you ever do fast, let the Lord tell you how long to fast. Let the Lord, because, oh, I've had preachers write down in books, well, I fasted for 17 days. Well, that was dumb. Why? First of all, why would you tell somebody that? Because they want to tell you so you think how great they are. The Bible expressly tells us to keep it personal. The Bible expressly tells us that if you're fasting, you ought not tell another person that you're fasting. You literally ought to keep that within yourself, okay? A fasting is a very simple thing. You ought to not eat. And while you're hungry, you ought to think about God and think about the reason that you're fasting. Think about the reason that you're going after things, because some things only come out with prayer and fasting. Some things you need to fast over. Let's look at them a little bit. We're turning the scripture to Psalms. We're turning the scripture to Psalms 69. Psalms chapter 69. Why do we fast? What are some of the reasons that you can think of for fasting? I love the first two. I love the first two. In Psalm chapter 69 and verse 10, I'm going to read verse 9 to actually verse 8 to you also. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. How many have ever gotten saved and you became a stranger to the people that used to know you? Okay, let me tell you something. I'm going to go back to my high school this next coming up weekend for the alumni basketball tournament, okay? I'm going to go there, and what's funny is the last time I went, some of the people have just started to find out that I'm a Baptist preacher. They don't recognize me now, okay? They don't recognize that. Because when I was in high school, I had hair down in the middle of my back, Playboy bunny earring in my ear, and I was drunk all the time. I'm not that guy anymore, amen? Okay, so how many have ever lived that part where you literally start to become a stranger to the people that you love, even your family sometimes? You become a stranger. They quit inviting you to parties because all you want to do is talk about God. I feel so uncomfortable when Mr. Ballard shows up because all you want to do is talk about Jesus. Right? You say amen, but don't come to our parties. 69:10. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept, and by the way, you'll feel like that sometimes. The reproaches, listen, reproaches of them that reproach thee. They hate Jesus Christ. They don't hate you. You got to come to grips with that, especially when you're out soul winning. They're not kicking you off the porch because of you. They're kicking you off the porch because they don't want to hear about Christ. That reproach thee are fallen upon me. Look, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. That was to my reproach. Listen to me now. One of the first reasons that we should want to fast is for a chastening of your soul. A chastening of your soul. Now, what's that mean? What, Brother Dave, I don't understand. What's that mean? Listen to me. You listen to me now. There comes a time when it's time for you to confess. And not to me, not to preacher, not to your spouse, not to your loved ones. There comes a time when you need to confess to the Almighty God, you know you've got troubles. When you fast for this specifically, and this should be one of the reasons, listen to me, we don't fast near enough in America. I would very, very much hesitate to ask for a raising of hands of anybody that fasted in the last month. And anybody that fasted in the last year, first of all, it's none of my business, just to be honest with you. It's none of my business whether you fast or not. It really isn't. It's none of anybody's business, okay? But there comes a time, how many have ever walked around just feeling guilty? Guilty. Good Lord, pray and read your Bible for 10 minutes. You'll feel guilty. And you ought to, because the closer you get to God, you ought to start feeling guilty. And then you ought to start feeling great joy because even though you're guilty, even though there's things that you've done, even though there's things that you can't get away from, God still loves you. What a great God. You can help yourself, listen to me now, you can help yourself get over that guilt, get over those feelings of inadequacy, get over those feelings of inequity. You can get over that by fasting and chastening your own soul. What a wonderful God that he gives us access to our own soul. Think about that for a minute now. That's pretty incredible when the Bible talks about when my heart condemns me, thou art greater than my heart. Amen. Hey, listen. There's days that I walk around saying, God, I'm worthless to you. How many have ever felt like that? God, I've got nothing to offer. Oh, God, I wouldn't have, God, I wouldn't have done that. Why in the world, Lord, do I keep sinning against you? Why in the world didn't I tell that person about you? Why did I mess up here? Why did I mess up there? You know what the Lord wants us to do? Listen to me. Listen. Oh, please listen. I think this is so good. The Scripture teaches us that we can chasten our soul, chasten our own soul with fasting and asking God, just confessing to Him, look at Lord, this is what I've done. And think about this all. Listen, oh, God wants to forgive you. He wants so desperately to forgive you. But you know what? We're so hard on ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves in church today. We're so hard that, oh, bless God, I've done something wrong and I'm just not good enough to get over it. You're right, you're not good enough, but He is good enough. He desperately wants to forgive you of what you've done. He desperately wants you to forgive you of what you're going to do. He just wants you to stay in the war. An amazing thing that you can do for yourself. And it's wonderful. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. You can chasten your soul with fasting. You can chasten your soul with fasting and confession to God. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. And you know what He wants to do? He wants to love you. He wants to pick you up. He wants to help you. He wants to let you know how close He wants to be to you. Can you imagine being able to fast and think about God every time your stomach rumbles? Listen, you don't think about God all day, I promise you. You look me in the eye and say, oh, I think about God all day. I don't. There's times when I don't think about God. It's a shame. It's a shame. But when you're fasting and you get that grum belly, I'm telling you, 7:30 in the morning, my belly's saying, feed me. If I fast, it's saying, feed me all day long. And every time that hunger comes around, think about this. I want you to think with me. Every time that hunger comes around, God's asking you, are you sorry? Do you want to get closer to me? Every time it rolls around, pray and ask Him, Lord, I'm so sorry. Can you help me? That's why fasting should be personal. That's why fasting should be something between you and God. You can chasten your own soul to get a cleansing, to get a cleansing, not only physically, but to get a cleansing spiritually of the things that you've done and the things that you feel like you need to get better at. As Christians, is there something that you feel in your life that you need to get better at? Good Lord, have mercy. If I ask for a raising of hands, every hand ought to go up in here that there's something that you need to get better at as a Christian. Have we ever asked God to help us get better? Have we ever asked God to get, asked God for us to get closer to us, to get closer to Him? This fasting, this chastening of the soul that this talks about, understand, David here is surrounded by enemies. He's saying, man, look at all this is coming down around me, all this coming down around me. I think David was thinking here, all of these things are happening to me, yet I haven't thanked you today. All these things are happening around me, but I haven't praised you today. All these things are happening around me, but Lord, I haven't looked to you for my release. Lord, I'm looking to you now. I'm chastening my soul with my fasting. The next thing, Psalm 35, please turn over there. I like this too. Oh, I like this. Man, we need a good big fat dose of this in our society today. I'm going to read you all these verses here, but up to verse 13, but just listen to these verses, please. In Psalm 35, verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Boy, listen to that verse. Good Lord, have mercy. Say unto your soul that God's your salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Could you imagine if your enemies were getting chased by the angel of the Lord? Wouldn't that be funny to watch? People running across the parking lot trying to get away from the angel of the Lord. Boy, wouldn't that be great to watch? Get him, Lord! Where did I stop? Oh, there it is. Let their way be dark and slippery. I like that. Let the way of your enemies be dark and slippery, walking down the hallway with slipping all over the place. I like that. And let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let this net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. All the way up to this point, he's saying, man, beat him up, God. Beat him up. And I think he comes to grips with himself. But as for me, when they are sick, listen to me now. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Listen to me now. What's he saying here? We have enemies. That's just the way it is, folks. We have enemies. The devil walketh around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's an enemy to you. There's people out there that get wrapped up in this being an enemy of Christians. That's just the way it is. Time after time after time after time, we pray, sick him, Lord. Sick him, Lord. Please, Lord, take him out of my... Oh, man, go after him, Lord. David here saying, you know what, Lord? I'm going to come to my senses. I'm going to humble my soul with fasting. When they're sick, I'm going to put on sackcloth. Now, putting on sackcloth back in those days was showing you were desiring something from God. You were seeking him out. It was complete humility to wear sackcloth. And he was putting himself in complete humility in front of these people. Why? Because he desired them not to get hurt now. He desired them to get better. It's easy to pray for people that love you. It's easy to pray for people that are on your side. Are you willing to get into sackcloth? Are you willing to fast? Are you willing to seek God to help the people that are against you? Are you willing to humble yourself and not eat and say, God, please reward the people that are after me. Please help them that are coming after me. Lord, be with my enemies. Keep them safe. Keep them away from things that would persecute them. Or are you willing to stand and say, Lord, please cut their heads off. I would to God you'd chop their arms right off and beat them with them. I hate my enemies, God. I would to God they'd fall right into a pit and go into their own net. Hey, listen. Hey, listen. I've done that, Marie. I see my enemies get all screwed up. I'm like, oh, yeah. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? You're asking your Savior, who loves everyone, to hurt somebody? Oh, no, no. Hey, listen to me, Christians. We've got to this is when David, he humbles himself here. See, what we'll do is we'll ride on that big white horse that we call our self-righteousness. We'll ride on that big white horse, say, Lord, take care of my enemies. Yeah. They just got run over by a car, thank you, God. That God. Turn over to Romans. I'll get there in just a minute. Find Romans first. Look over at Romans. Let's start in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. Very good. That's my next one. Good job. Romans chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 17. in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools." Now listen. That's not talking about your enemies. That's talking about you. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, verse 9, we'll start with, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if," listen to this now, listen to me now, "when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We have no problem as Christians today asking God to smite our enemies. We have no problem today asking God to take care of other people. We have no problem today saying, "Lord, please stamp out our enemies from before us." But let me tell you something. God didn't act that way when you were his enemy. You got to grab a hold of yourself, Christian. You were once enemies with God. You were the one that was the subject of his wrath. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God does not answer the prayer of people that are my enemies. Listen to that now. Because we have no problem praying for God's blighting on our enemies. I wonder how many enemies have prayed for your blighting. Thank you, God, for not answering their prayer. Thank you, God, for not listening to them. Why would God then listen to you? There comes a time when we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves before an almighty God. And he allows us to do that through fasting. Humbling your soul. Listen to me. When I got saved as a young boy, people were praying for my salvation. My aunt and uncle took it very seriously that my eternal soul was in the balance. They took it very seriously. They took it very seriously because they knew that I needed something. I believe with all my heart that there was a day in every one of your lives when somebody said they need something. Somebody said to Brother Kativer somewhere along the way that I'm going to pray for him because I desire him to be saved. Hey, my son got baptized last week. Do you think a prayer was never offered up for my son to get saved? Let me tell you something, folks. Before you got saved, you were an enemy. Before you got saved, you were against God. Before you got saved, you were not counted as a Christian. But today, we're counted as Christians, and we're praying for people who where we used to be. We're praying for them to stumble. We're praying for them to fall to heart. We're praying for them to go into a pit and fall into their own snare that they're laying for you. How many people have we prayed for to have harm done to them? Glory to God, why don't you humble yourself and fast and say, "Lord, please make them a Christian. Lord, please make my enemy not hate me. Make them love me from loving you first." Man, we're messed up sometimes, amen? We, who were once enemies, are praying that our enemies find hurt. I'm so glad that God didn't pray, "Brother Carl McDaniel is an enemy of mine. I think I'm going to smite him." I'm so thankful that God looked down and said, "David Ballard, he's my enemy now, but he needs me." Listen, your enemies, you might be the only chance that they have. Nobody else may be offering up prayers for them. I wonder if we've fasted for our enemies, humbling our soul. That's a good reason to fast, amen? When do we fast? Well, if you look at, we don't have time to turn there because the first buzzer's already rang, but in Joel 1:14, things were happening to a nation. Things were happening to a country. And they decided to put a fast out. They decided to fast for their nation. They decided to fast to make their nation better, to make their nation a Christian nation. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you fasted for America?
Hey, oh, well, that's so stupid. My fasting won't make a difference.
It won't if you don't do it. Hey, listen to me. It may be time to fast for America.
Amen.
Just thinking. We may be coming up to some things that we never thought we'd see. Might be time to fast. And I'm going to talk, and we're going to go on a church-wide fast, and everybody's going to come together, and we'll have a big potluck at the last day. Can you imagine a Baptist potluck after a five-day fast? We'd put Cicilanos right out of ingredients. It might be time to fast for your country. It might be time that every time you get hungry, you think, God, please bless America. It might be time for you to have some hunger pangs against abortion, have some hunger pangs against the homosexual movement. It might be time to have some hunger pangs over the rock and roll music that all these kids are getting drowned in. It might be time to seek God's face over some of the evil that's going on in America today. It might be time to fast. There's nothing that we can change just one person fasting. If one person doesn't, I guarantee there won't be a change. Listen, I'm not telling you you have to fast. I'm telling you you ought to fast, and you ought to seek God's face when it is time to fast. I don't fast every day, you can tell. But listen to me. Why is it so wrong to do what the Bible says? Chasing your soul over the things that you've done wrong. Chasing your soul. Go after the sin that's in your life. Don't pour gasoline on it and make it bigger. Go after it.
Amen.
I'm not going to do this anymore. I've heard that confession one time in 16 years of ministry. I've heard that confession one time. I'm not going to do this anymore. I've heard it one time. And bless God, they didn't. You know, here's what's funny. The statement, people are going to do what they want to do, is exactly right. There's nothing that stops that. You are going to do what you want to do. Shows up on Sunday nights, every Sunday night. It really does. You get mad at me, like, oh, bless God, I got so many things going on. Yeah, Brother Dave doesn't have anything going on, okay? Well, church is your life. Why isn't church your life?
Amen.
Just a thought. Why don't we seek God? This is a tool. Fasting is a tool that never gets used. If you don't fast, it's like getting on the internet with no computer. How do you do it?
I don't know.
Shout real loud?
I'm going to Google Bethel Baptist Church!
It probably won't come to you with no computer. But God has given us a way that we can seek within ourselves. That we can, remember when it said his prayers returned into his own bosom? Remember that when it said that? I read that to you. His prayers went, what? Listen to me. What were his prayers before he fasted? His prayers were to blight his enemies, to kill his enemies, to take his enemies out, to do this. Oh, God, please smite him. Then he realized what he was doing. He realized, I've got to humble my soul here. Sometimes we have enemies for a reason. Can you imagine never having an enemy in your life ever? You say, boy, that would be so great, would it? Then you wouldn't be on your toes ever. I'm going to tell you something right now, Christian. We are facing a time in our lives where spirituality is an afterthought.
Yep.
Getting closer to God is an afterthought. Holiness is unspoken of.
Yes.
But God said, I am holy.
Amen.
And to get closer to him, you may have to do some confessing along the way. I'm not talking confessing to a priest. They can't hear either. But God can.
Amen.
And if you're willing to get serious, that's what fasting is really about. I'm just going to let you know. Fasting means you are getting serious about changing your life. You're getting serious about getting humility in your life. You're getting serious about chastening the bad that you've done. You're getting serious about seeking that God that desperately seeks you or desperately wants you to seek him. You're deciding, I'm going to get serious. And listen, Sometimes fasts don't go right away. Sometimes fasts are long. Sometimes you may get 3, 4, 5 days because God doesn't tell you to stop. You got to ask God to tell you what to do. You got to ask God how to seek Him. We literally, and I'm all done, we literally don't care to seek God anymore. We don't care to humble ourselves before an almighty God anymore. We don't care to get rid of the sin which doth so easily beset us in each of our individual lives. We don't care to do it. Because if we cared to do it, we would. Humble yourselves. Chasten yourselves. Learn to fast. Learn to seek God. Make it a part of your Christianity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to teach. Lord, I pray that we would take fasting seriously and start to seek you through fasting. Lord, help us to understand that fasting is mentioned in the Bible for a reason. It's not something that we need to shout on the rooftops that we're doing. It's something that we need to shout to you that we're doing. And let you know that we're serious and we're earnest about seeking your face and getting something from the Almighty God that loves us so much. Lord, please teach us. Teach us to have you not want to blight our enemies. Teach us to humble ourselves. Let those prayers of hurt return into our own bosom. And let prayers of love come forth from our bosom and care about those enemies, to desire to change them into not being your enemies or our enemies, but being a worker and a great army and soldier for you. Lord, please help us to love each other and care about each other. Seek after holiness. Seek after righteousness. And seek your face and start to care about doing just that. Lord, be with us today. Anoint my preacher. Lord, please take the pain away from his ankle. Lord, let him heal up completely. Let him continue to go on the great physical health that he's going on. Lord, please let him seek after you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.